Hey, we want to welcome you to the DWC podcast. We want to thank you for joining us today. You know, we are going to worship, and again, we're doing it from our homes, and it's just been announced another 3 weeks, and I know that some of you have taken that news hard. I want you to know that God is with you in the midst of the storm, and his presence is really what makes the difference, right? And so I know that there's frustrations and there's anger and there's a whole bunch of emotions that are floating around. I want to pray that God would be above them all. Let's pray today. Father, I lift all of our emotions to you. And I pray that you would be in the midst of the storm and that your presence would be made known as we worship together, Lord, right on here. I pray that there would be a peace that would come over us, that you would speak into every fear. And Lord, whatever needs to be gone from our spirits would be gone. We pray all those things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, guys, one of the truths that we've been talking about with spiritual warfare is just this idea of being obedient, of saying yes to the Lord. And we can only do that when we get out of the way. Well, this first song is called Lay Me Down, and I hope that you would be ready to lay your life down and let God's life shine through you, even in the midst of the storm. Let's sing it out. Lay Me Down.
Sacrifice. The Bible says even the rocks will cry out to him in praise, and the mountains will bow to him. How much more should we that have breath in our lungs be praising and worshiping our God? Even in the times of darkness and hardship, we should still continue to praise and worship him. Amen. So let's sing this. Let everything that has breath. This is one of my really favorite songs, and my favorite singers does this, and I just really love the words of this song. If you've got pain, he's a pain taker, a way maker. He's your freedom when you're lost, and when you need saving from your chains, he's a chain breaker. And if you need that this morning, if you need to hear that this morning, if you need to know the power of Christ this morning, I hope that you hear this. And as we sing this song, just wherever you're at, just let those chains fall. And let's sing Chainbreaker.
Yeah.
Next song we've only done a couple times. It's called Living Hope. And the first part of the verse says, "How great the chasm that lay between us, how high the mountain I could not climb." You could never be good enough, never be sinless enough to win him over. You didn't need to do that because his grace was so big that he bridged that gap for you. So you didn't have to do that. And that's what this song is about. Hallelujah, you're the one that has set me free. And so if you remember this one, it's called Living Hope. How great the spoken.
the promise, your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me.
Finish off today, we're going to do Revelation song, and I just love the picture that this paints for us, and I'm sure you'll know it.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is He. Song to Him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is He. Water, such a marvel.
Hey, I want to welcome you to the Digby Wesleyan podcast. I want to say thank you for joining us. I hope that this can be a source of encouragement to you. For those of you who may not know, Nova Scotia is in lockdown, and our government just this past week has announced that that's going to continue for at least another 3 weeks as we slowly see our summer slip away. I'm not expecting much of a summer, and I have to laugh or else I would go insane. I'm missing meeting with people. I'm missing that fellowship. I'm missing the energy that some of those events give us. I am so tired of preaching to a microphone and not an audience, right? But those are the struggles that we are facing. And yes, it's uncomfortable. And yes, it's been a long year. And yes, if you are feeling discouraged or maybe you are feeling a little bit of anxiety, I want you to know that you're not alone. And as a believer, if you're a believer listening today, I want you to know that it's okay to feel those things, but it's not okay to remain there, right? We need to be encouraging one another, lifting one another. We need to be calling upon God Almighty to change our attitudes in the midst of some of those storms, right? I've been praying for Israel all this week, and I was thinking of some of the pain that's going on there. And again, I was reminded of Jesus' warning in Matthew 24 when he says, nation's going to be against nation, kingdom against kingdom, wars and rumors of wars. And it's been a discouraging time. But you know, you keep reading in Matthew 24, and Jesus says, well, hold on, right? Keep letting your light shine. Because the Son of Man, the Son of God, is going to split the skies and come to our rescue. And I go, ah, Lord, even now, return, Lord Jesus, right? I was kind of been praying and finding myself having to reach within and to do spiritual battle in order to find some victory. And I want you to know that if you are a believer, again, you can have those very same things. Because think about this. The King of all of the universe lives within you. That you are the temple. When the enemy comes knocking, which it feels like every day he comes knocking in different shoes over the last year, when the devil comes knocking, let God answer, right? And even more than that, all the hosts of heaven have your back. We talked about it last week. And that we have access to truth, another incredible weapon that sends the enemy running. Are you using the truth? And last week, again, we talked about this idea that we need to be guarding our mind in all that we do, that we need to be checking the gate. What are you letting in, right? And so I want to continue on this idea of spiritual battles this week. There's something, of course, I've been involved in the church all my life. One of the things that disturbs me is how often I've seen the church struggle with sin. And again, maybe you're new to church and you haven't seen that yet. Don't worry, hang on, you'll experience it. Like, sin always seems to be lurking, isn't it? And it seems that again, we have victory waiting for us, and yet so often in the shadows, even in church members or in churches we see in the shadows, sin grows and all of a sudden somebody slips up, right? It's this constant struggle that's going on. And again, we already talked about that. You and I, if we are believers, we're in the enemy's crosshairs. We need to be alert, right? And we are calling upon you to grow in the Spirit. But even as we can grow in the Spirit, we can also have secret sins growing, right? The stuff that we try to hide. And even though you think that you may be hiding some of that sin, right, it still is going to have a huge impact on your life. And so that has always disturbed me. Like, why is there sin within the church? And you know, then all of a sudden the world has ammunition. Like, ah, you're a bunch of hypocrites. And, you know, for many parts, they're not wrong, right? Because we get caught hiding sin sometimes. And so how can we battle that even better? How can we find victory over sin? Well, one of the tools that God has given us is accountability, right? That we are to be open and raw with our brothers and sisters, that accountability where we pray for one another, where we carry each other's burdens. Now, again, I want to caution you. I know that you can't be open and honest with everyone. There are some people that you know, will take your honesty and use it against you. How many? Amen, right? I've seen that. That's a sad reality of the church as well. So accepting accountability is tough, right? Because we're always scared of how it's going to come back to haunt us. Those are terrible moments when that happens. But I've always said this, and I believe this with all my heart, that secrets question our integrity, right? The less that we keep secrets, the healthier that we're going to be in body and spirit. So who are you transparent with? Can I ask you that today? You know, apart from the Holy Spirit, of course, I hope that you cast all your cares and anxiety upon him, but who in your life physically are you transparent with? Because that can be very freeing, right? Sometimes we struggle to talk and to be open and to be honest. I know that. But when we struggle to do those things, then we are often found alone. So who are you accountable to? Like, who is praying for you? Who is lifting you? Who is encouraging you? Because if you don't have those people in your life as pillars to help you up, well, then I would suggest to you that you're keeping secrets. And those things that are hidden in the dark, they still grow and they still take root, right? You know, if you've been around the church, you've experienced I call them spiritual train wrecks. Like, just when things explode, right? Sin is revealed. It's brought to light, and we can't imagine how it ever happened. You know those spiritual scandals that destroy entire ministries, or those spiritual scandals that destroy and rip apart families? You've seen them. If you've been around the church for any amount of time, you know what I'm talking about. And they're terrible, unbelievable mistakes, and everybody always asked, how did this happen? Well, you know, I've been around this long enough to say it sure didn't happen overnight. Right? When those spiritual train wrecks happen, they're a result of things that grew in the dark and they just got too big to hide. Why do we keep secrets? It's not the secrets that are going to set us free. Those are the things that twist us up until we're completely unrecognizable, right? Those are ammunition for the world when we fall, right? Jesus told us in John 8 that it was the truth that would set us free. And I want to encourage you, church, and believers out there, that if you are into kingdom things, then even when the truth is hard to face, I hope that you would face it. I hope that you would face it. You know, that we wouldn't remain silent, that we wouldn't hide things, that we wouldn't keep secrets. One of my friends, Mike McNeil, he was a professor of mine, and I guess he couldn't get rid of me. Still teaching me today. I hope that iron sharpens iron. I appreciate Mike and all that he brings. He had a statement this week that really made my mind twist. And he's one of those guys who can do that once in a while, but it's hit this. He said, truth can set us free, but it can also get us crucified. So we put our head down, we close our eyes. Silence seems safer, but it isn't. Today's complacency is tomorrow's captivity. And I went, ah, like there's a lot to unpack in that, right? Like, it's not the secrets that are going to set us free. Truth will set us free. And he says, today's complacency is tomorrow's captivity. And I was thinking of that. That's true in spiritual warfare, where we get caught trying to hide things sometimes. You know, in his particular quote, he is asking us to proclaim truth even when truth is not easy to proclaim. With our cancel culture, people dismiss us, all those sorts of things. All right. You know, Jesus warned us of some of those things. You know, take heart, they're going to hate you, but they hated me first. Like all of those statements that Christ made, they certainly are true in today's culture, and that's okay. But it's the truth that we need to embrace, right? It's the truth that we need to embrace. We can't be hiding stuff. When we hide stuff, it twists us. It holds us captive, and it continues to grow, right? And the sad thing is the things that we think are being kept in secret, guess what? They will grow, and they will explode, and there will be casualties, right? So we see the pattern. Church, let's deal with our sin. Church, let's embrace accountability. Let's have prayer partners, right? So who do you have in your life like that? Who is that trusted accountability confidant that you have, or hopefully there's more than one, right, that you can seek when you struggle, that will pray for you and will lift you up, somebody that you can be real and raw with. You know, and we're counseled to do that. Like in the Word, there are so many verses. 1 Peter 4:8 is one of them. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Like, love one another. Who do you have that you're loving and that loves you? And you know what? That love is going to cover over all of the multitude of sins and the weaknesses that you sometimes show, that those people that when they hurt, you hurt. And when you hurt, they hurt. And you know what? Vice versa. They long for your victory and your success. Who do you have in your life? Like, I have several people that I pray for. Some of them right here in my community, some of them outside of my community, and even outside of my country, that I pray for regularly because they've been instrumental. They've been accountability partners. They've been people that I've been able to tell things to without judgment. And they've lifted me, and I know that they pray for me. Who do you have like that? You know, there's so many biblical examples of that. Like David had Jonathan, Moses had Aaron. You go on and on. Naomi and Ruth. Paul talks about Priscilla and Aquila. And even Jesus, right? Like Peter and James and John were kind of closer to him than the other disciples. And so I think about all of those examples. The greatest warriors have always had those earthly supports. Who do you have? Who do you have? You know, we, the church, would do well to embrace accountability. So I hope that would be something that you experience. And if it's something that you haven't experienced, I hope that it would be something that you would be praying for. Another thing, when we talk about this idea of sin within the church, you know, why? Why do we see sin within the church sometimes? It's because I see a lot of churches that are hateful. What makes them hateful? To me, a lot of the time, this would be the norm. There's unforgiveness. You know, if we are going to deal with the sin issue in the church, we better start embracing forgiveness. You know, a joke that I have that is so sad, but it is so true, especially in Atlanta, Canada. You could drive down the back roads of Atlanta, Canada, and you see many churches built across the road from other churches. And I don't mean to laugh because it's not funny, but it is funny, right? I have people who come to visit and they say, man, you got a lot of churches across the road from other churches. And I'm going, yeah. And what's the story there? And the reality is probably one family couldn't get along with another family, so they took their bat and ball and started a game across the road, right? And that is so sad. Like, we're not worried about loving the community. Now I just got to get away from that family who doesn't agree with me. And so we're going to invest in another church right across the road. That'll show them. Why in the world do we have a problem with forgiveness in the church? We know that unforgiveness is toxic, right? I've seen that. I've seen that my whole career. Churches that are ready to break up instead of break bread. That is a scary reality that we see within the churches today. And you know what? In the days in which we live, we shouldn't have time for unforgiveness. We like Jesus, this was so important to him that he included it in his prayer that he taught us to pray, right? Matthew 6, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. But letting go is hard. And usually it's a pride issue, isn't it, that keeps us from letting go. But if it's so important to God, how come it's not more important to us? And it's interesting. Like I remember one family who fought me on this principle of forgiveness. They did not want to embrace forgiveness. And I would say to them, you need to forgive. It's not even about that they wronged you. It's about the freedom that is being delayed in your own life. Like, unforgiveness is toxic, and this anger that you have towards this family is hurting your family. And they'd go, no, no, no. You know what? I will forgive them, but only if they ask for it. And I'm going, what? And they go, well, they have to acknowledge that they did wrong first. And again, pride. Doesn't that reek of pride, right? We'll forgive them, but only if they acknowledge it first. They have to ask, or I'll never forgive them. And I'm going, yeah, that's a biblical principle. No, right? Like Luke 23:34, Jesus prays for those who are killing him. And I brought them this verse. Jesus says, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And I'm going, how in the world can we hold on to unforgiveness? When we forgive, right, we're not giving that person who wronged us a pass. We're not saying that what they did was okay, but we are embracing the freedom that awaits us. And I think about that. It takes so much energy to remain angry. Have you ever met angry people? Yeah. Oh, it's got to be exhausting, right? And I always wonder what people think that they're gaining when they hold a grudge. All they're doing is letting somebody live rent-free in their mind. right? Like, why in the world would you allow that to bind you? Stop. Like, we should be in the church embracing freedom that awaits us, right? And letting go of that thing that binds us, that gets us stuck, right? We're stuck in the past. Oh, I've seen so many churches that get stuck in the past, and they hold on to that, and then they wonder why there's no new blessings coming from heaven. And I'm kind of going, let go of the gross so that your hands are free to receive the new, right? And again, forgiveness doesn't mean that you forgot what they did. Right? You know, memory is one of those gifts from God. He forgives and forgets. You don't have to. Right? Like, that's so we don't trip over the same stone twice. Like, if somebody has done something awful to me, I need to forgive them, but it's okay for me to set up boundaries for the future. Right? I was thinking about this. You know, as a believer, if you are taken in a business deal, it doesn't mean that you get into bed with that same person who created that problem for you and have another business deal. No. But you don't hold a grudge, right? We can forgive them, and we can move forward, and we can let go of the past, and it doesn't give that person who wronged you a pass on their actions. All it does is it opens up freedom for your future. And so, wow. Again, I hope that the church would be found embracing forgiveness. You know, another thing that I see, too, when it comes to this idea of sin is that our world is preoccupied with trying to identify, to belong to something, aren't they? You got to identify. And I wish that we would embrace in the church our identity. What is our identity in the church? You are a child of the King. That's what you should identify with. You should identify with Christ, right? And all the benefits that comes with that position, right? I don't know if you've ever seen that list of who I am in Christ. But you can find it on the internet. It's kind of amazing who I am in Christ. It just takes the scriptures. It reminds us of who we are. And I have several of those copied, and they're usually taped inside the covers of my Bibles, because I love that when we hide truth in our heart, that there's times when we need to call upon that truth, right? Those reminders. And there's been times when I'm going, yeah, I'm more than a conqueror. I know who I am. Right? I'm the light of the world. I know who I am. I'm strong in the Lord. I'm a new creation. I'm accepted. I'm justified. I'm a saint. I'm complete. I'm hidden in Christ. I know who I am because I identify with Christ. You know, that way I don't get lost in a changing world because I know who I am. And I never in my life thought that we would see a world that is so confused on who they are as we do in today's generation. It amazes me, and it's sad because people don't seem to know who they are. They seem to are trying to seek that and doing a terrible job at finding out who they are. I teach grief share, and one of those things that I warn against is to be careful not to allow grief to become your new identity, right? And the reason why we teach that is because it feels good when people are caring for you. It feels good when people are showing concern. It feels good when you're the center of attention. But the problem is that you can let grief become your identity. Right? It feels so good when people pamper you that you choose to become the one who's always sad, that you choose to be the one who's always in need, that you choose to be the one who's always looking for help. Right? It's that old principle, looking for love in all the wrong places. Right? We allow grief to become our identity because it feels so good, the attention that brings. And I'm going, whoa, 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 whoa. We shouldn't be seeking grief. We should be seeking the healing. Right? Healing from our grief. And I find people will settle for less, right? They settle, well, that must be my identity now. No. No, don't seek the pity of man. Instead, seek the glory of God. Right? We are to identify with Christ. We're to identify with our Creator, not the things that are less than. Right? Think of Malachi 3:10. It says this promise, I will open up the windows of heaven for you, and I will pour out a blessing so great that you won't have enough room to take it all in. Right? Like, that's what awaits us. We should identify with God. You're a child of the King. Like, you are not the bad day that you're having. You are not your past. You are not grief. you are not the failed moments, right? Instead, if we know who we identify with, then we'll understand we're children of the King. Right? And there's those days where, yeah, you got to get up and dust yourself off and adjust your crown, but make no mistake who you are. Like, identify with Christ. You don't need to remain an angry person. Identify with Christ. You don't need to remain a judgmental or jealous person. Identify with Christ. You don't need to remain selfish. You need to identify with Christ. If we started to identify with Christ, then I believe we would see a lot more victory in the church because we'd know who we are. Right, knowing who you are changes how you live, right? We are not confused. We are Christ, right? He lives within me. He gives me strength to do what I cannot do. He has already won, and so I will choose to win, right? Anyway, that's one of those things that I think the church absolutely needs to embrace. You know, in line with that, another thing that I think the church would do well to embrace is obedience. You know, just as sin can grow, like the sin that we keep in secret, it's going to grow. So can our obedience. Like, it's incredible when you see children of God start to seek Him and they discover that God is not hiding. And I say that again, God is not hiding. He longs to do life with you. And the more we listen to our Creator, then the clearer His voice becomes. Right? You throw together, maybe you're a believer who's been a believer for some time, throw together a few victories in your spiritual life and you start to see that God has designed you for victory. Like, that's incredible when that starts to happen and become our reality. I love it when I see believers growing. And again, that's why discipleship is such an important thing, right? If we seek, we're going to find. That's His promise. And so when we seek to be obedient, it's incredible how successful our lives can become. And that's, again, not by chance. It's by choice. Church, that we would embrace obedience, right? It would bring so much health to us, to our families, to our communities, to our nation, to the world. If Christians would start living obedient lives, it would be a game changer, right? Think about it this way. You know, who do you have that asks for help, right? Like you have those people who come to you and they ask for help. Okay, well, when you give them advice and they don't listen, right, they let you down, and then they come back to you and ask for help, even sometimes on the same issue. Do you have those people? You know what I'm talking about? Like, I need you. What do I do? And so you take time and you counsel them, and you're like, I would do this, and this is why, and you know what? I think you should try this. And then all of a sudden, 2 weeks later, they come back, their life is still a mess, they haven't listened to a thing you've said or done anything that you suggested, right? Those people are so frustrating, right? Like, don't come and ask me what you should do and then not listen. And I'm going, wow. Like, I always love it when you're dealing with a believer and you're trying to say, okay, let's see what the Word of God says about this. These are the things that you should do. And when they put that into action, when they're obedient, right, the response is always the same. Pastor, that worked. I'm going, of course it worked. Right? You are following the design of God for your life, and that's when you are going to be at your best. Being obedient works, yes. Wow, right? But when people start to understand that, you know, in the church, and they start to realize that that's the recipe for life, like God speaks, we listen. And then victory follows, right? If we could understand that and wrestle that to the ground, that obedience is vital, well, then pretty soon God becomes our first response instead of our last resort, right? I'm so tired as a pastor of hearing those questions. How did this happen, right? It happened because you're stupid. Stop being stupid, right? You're flirting with sin. God made you for holiness. Embrace a better way, right? It's Jesus said it in John 14, 15. He made it that simple. He said, if you love me, obey me. And when we love him and we obey him, amazing things happen, right? We need to start choosing life over death. We need to start choosing the blessing instead of the curse. That's a choice and it happens. It's like an athlete. They don't all of a sudden magically become good at their sport on the day of competition. No, they work at it all year long, right? They prepare for the competition long before the competition begins. And that's kind of the way we need to be looking at this idea of obedience. There's going to be little things that God asks you to be obedient in. Well, be obedient in them because there's going to be tougher questions coming, right? Too often I see believers who are living the curse. And it's they know what they should be doing and they're not doing it. James 4 talks about that. Verse 17, it says, if anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it's sin. Right? Like, so stop asking, how did this happen? Sin. Disobedience. That's how that happened, right? We need to start choosing the more rewarding choice, which would be obedience. And as a believer, you should be that balanced individual in your community, right? That's the power of Christ in you. And obedience doesn't depend upon circumstance, right? Like, we need to understand if God said it, we got to trust it. Truth does not change, right? I think of that verse in Philippians 4, 12 and 13. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. So again, how can we be content? It doesn't matter of our circumstances. You want to be content, start being obedient. Church, be obedient. Embrace obedience, right? And all of a sudden, things will start to turn around, right? The joy and the peace that comes with obedience, the victories that come with obedience. So again, speaking of spiritual warfare, how in the world are we going to battle this thing called sin? Well, embrace accountability. Who do you have that you can be real and raw with? And I know that that's a hard journey because, being vulnerable sometimes haunts us. Being vulnerable, sometimes we lose. You have people who you're going to share with, and they're going to abuse that information, and it makes me sad. It shouldn't happen in the church. But who can you be accountable with? Who can pray for you, and who can you share with those burdens, and who will encourage you and lift you up? And you know what? If you don't have that in your life, you need to be praying for accountability. Forgiveness. We need to embrace it, church. There is far too many who are holding on to the sins of the past, and they have no room in their hands to receive the present blessings, right? We need to be people who forgive. We need to be people who live in that freedom. And that would be way easier if we knew who we were, right? So embrace your identity. Know who you are in Christ. If we understand that he has already won, then we'll live a lot more like winners. If we will understand who we are, we'll spend a lot less time listening to the lies of the enemy, right? And I think if we do those things, then we'll start to embrace obedience. Obedience will become the norm. It'll become something that we just do. God speaks, we listen. And we'd hear his voice so much better too. So I hope that we would be embracing all of those things, you know, in the spiritual war that we find ourselves in, that strength for accountability, that strength to forgive, that strength to stand in and know who we are in Christ Jesus, that strength to obey what he asks and to reap the rewards that come as we obey. Well, guys, that's what I have for today. I hope that we would put those principles into action. I hope that you would find yourself being encouraged this week. I hope that you would find yourself being lifted this week. I want to pray for you as we go, and I want to encourage you to join us next week as we continue on with some of these spiritual warfare principles. Let me pray for you. Father God, I want to say thank you for our time today. I want to say thank you that we can join, even if it's online. Lord, I long for the day when we can be back together face to face, but Lord, until then, I pray that you would give us patience. I pray that you'd help us to be responsible with all of our emotions, Lord, that regardless of the circumstances, we would understand that we can do all things through you, that we would always let our light shine, that we'd always be that voice of calm and reason, that we'd always be that that beauty for the world to see. Lord, that we wouldn't be found in a mess, that if we recognize that we are feeling discouraged, if we recognize that we are feeling dark, Lord, that we would act responsibly with all of those feelings. We'd bring all of those emotions to your throne. that we would be seeking you. Again, you're not hiding. Ah, Lord, would we find you in every corner, in every moment of life. I pray that you would be the one who would be leading and guiding us. And Lord, that when the world looks at us, they would see the peace that they just cannot understand, that there would be something so beautiful in us, Lord, that again, you would be seen. Less of us, more of you, right? So, Lord, I pray that you'd just be with each one who's listening today, that you encourage them, you'd lift them up, and you'd continue to form us into the spiritual warriors that you long for us to be. Father God, help us to experience those victories, I pray. And I pray all of these things in the incredible name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, guys, I'm so glad that you joined us. I hope that you'll join us again next week. God bless you, and have an incredible week in the Lord.